This message entitled The Great Joy of My Life was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on December 24th, 2023 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 1 and 2.
The great joy of my life. All right. A.W. Tozer. He wrote this. He said, "The great joy of my life has been to learn new things about God and to experience new things in my relationship with God. No matter how much I know today, tomorrow will bring me something new about God. And I am anxious to discover the newness of God in my life every day. It is no secret that the devil hates our joy in the Lord and will strive with all his power to rob us of this holy delight. Nothing bothers the devil more than a Christian delighting in God's presence." Amen. The joy of my life, that's what he said. The joy of my life is this moving forward with the Lord, this having joy in your heart because it came from God alone. Amen? Oh yes, the joy of my life. Joy, of course, is the final theme that we have before us. We've taken a theme every week, as you know, and the first Sunday, which was December 3rd, I believe, was hope, and then we saw love and peace. And peace was last week, and then today, joy. And I've said this numerous times, but I'll just say it mostly for the recording, I suppose, that we found that the word hope and the word love were not found in the Christmas story. I know that sounds odd, because you would think those would be two words for sure that would be in the Christmas story. But I believe God left them out on purpose. I mean, God is in control, so if they're left out, it was on purpose. And I think his purpose was that we would see God's hope and God's love in other ways, in other words, in other phrases, and also in the relationships that the Christmas story, that the people of the Christmas story would have. And I'm speaking of Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth and so forth and so on. Okay? But then we come to the third theme, which was last week, and that was peace. And peace was in the Christmas story three times. All right? And they were in order, too. It was, first of all, a matter of coming into a peace, like the angels had said, okay, from the Christmas story. Back in Matthew, I believe it was, and then to live in that peace, which of course was in the Christmas story, and then thirdly, to depart in peace, and that of course was Simeon, as he said, "Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace." So there was a coming into peace, a living your life in peace, and a going out of this world in peace. I thought that was kind of cool. Kind of neat. All right there in order. Praise the Lord. So that's what we saw last week. Well, today it's joy. It's joy. And it's all through the Christmas story, as it turns out. Recently I heard a survey where kids were asked of their greatest joy. And you can well imagine what they said that was, and I think a lot of times that's the way we see all of life, really, is that it's coming down the stairs and seeing that tree and seeing the presence, you know, under the tree. And I'll never forget when my sister came down into the, we had the tree in the basement at the time. And so she came down the stairs down into the basement, and there was a bike. And it wasn't a boy's bike, it was a girl's bike. And it turned out it was hers, and she didn't know she was getting a bike. She was thrilled, okay? She was thrilled. And then you look at all the other presents and how thrilled everybody was. And so, and that's what we think, joy, that's it right there. Christmas morning, packages, that's the joy, okay? But Tozer is speaking of something else. Tozer is speaking of the Christmas presents, E-N-C-E, okay? Presents, the presence of God at Christmas time, giving these various themes, okay? Ran across a little devotional book over at one of the nursing homes. Evidently, somebody had brought them in. I don't know if it was an employee or somebody other than that, but there are several copies of them. And they passed them out, handed them out when I was over there for Bible study. And I noticed they also had it on a table when you come in to the second intersection of sections of the nursing home. And it was on the table along with some of our newsletters and a few of our Christmas devotional books as well. I ran across this one as I was looking through it. Okay? This is just called Bright News, and it's focused on Luke 2, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Anyway, here's the devotional. A recent trend, and you've all heard of it, you're all aware of it, they put it on the news every once in a while, especially if it doesn't go well. Have you ever noticed that? When something that's supposed to be really nice doesn't go well, boy, it's on the news. Anyway, a recent trend calls for expectant parents to hold what's called a reveal party, where the gender of their baby is announced. And sometimes it's not just gender, but it's the actual, you know, that there's going to be a baby in the first place. And so it can go either way as far as that goes. Parents-to-be, they pop balloons that are full of pink or blue confetti, which makes a good mess. And then you have your, they cut open a colored cake, which reveals it's pink or blue. Blue. Anyway, or even set off, and what I mean by that is, I almost brought a few candy canes today, but they were blue. And I thought, I'm going to have blue tongues and all this. So I let it go for today. But even they set off special fireworks to share the surprise for their family and friends. No firework-filled event will ever come close to the new baby announcement that the shepherds received on the first Christmas. While those lowly citizens were minding their sheep outside the town, the sky opened up to reveal blazing light and singing angels. It was a terrifying, but certainly unforgettable surprise. This good news was not just about a birth, it was about the arrival of one who would defeat sin, defeat death, and defeat the devil. Now, I stress that because that's not something you hear every day. I mean, in a lot of places, that's not what you hear. You know? It's Christmas this and Christmas that, and there's this part and that part and something else and so forth. But Jesus came to get rid of sin. Okay? To defeat sin, defeat death, and defeat the devil. And all because he loves you. Amen? All because he loves you. That's what the head of the devotional was calling bright news. Imagine how that lit up the sky, huh? Millions, if not billions, of angels all over that field. Can you imagine? I mean, that had to be like, you know, greater than any tack light thing you ever saw, you know, and just incredible what God does to get his message across. That's the miracle. Amen? That's the miracle. That's a miracle of Christmas. The gender, of course, of this little baby was already known. You didn't really have to have a gender reveal party. And by the way, like I said, There are numerous times people have tried to put on a party like this and something goes wrong. And that's the one you hear about. That's what's on the news, you know, that this, you know, this happened or that happened or this thing exploded or whatever. It didn't go the way they wanted it to or whatever. But anyway, but this gender was already known. You can go back into the Old Testament and you can find that there was a Messiah that was being promised. Oh, you can go to several scriptures in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to do that today because I want to focus on the word joy as it's found in the Christmas story, okay? But if you wanted to see about gender, you could go way back and find out that this was going to be a baby boy, okay? Gender was already known. But I will have you turn to Luke chapter 1. If you just turn to Luke chapter 1, we're just going to look at four things here, okay? Luke chapter 1. And let's see, where do we want to start? Let me back up to verse 8. This is actually the Christmas story itself with regards to the angels. And I told you before, the whole first half, or the whole, really, the whole story from chapter 2, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 20, every verse begins with the word and. I don't think there's one, there's a verse 11 doesn't begin with and, but I think every other one begins with the word and. Not only that, but the word and is also found in the middle of some of these verses. 14 is another one. Doesn't begin with and, but all the others do, and they have them in the middle as well. And then you get down to verse 19, and it doesn't begin with and. It says, but. Now, we'll get back to this, but I just wanted to make the point. There's all these ands, and then there's that contrastive conjunction, but. Okay? All right. Back up to verse 8, okay? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. And here we go, watch this, of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Glory be to God. But you can't really end there because there's much more that happens even in that field. They also added to that, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, see, there was just the one angel at first, and all of a sudden there's a multitude of heavenly hosts. Some people say it could be millions, it could be billions, who knows how many, all right? But it filled the sky, multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now, we saw this last week. This was one of the instances of that theme here in the Christmas story. Peace and goodwill toward men. But back in verse 10, it said that I brought you something, people. I brought you something. I brought you good tidings of great joy. Praise the name of Jesus. I'd like you to turn just a little bit further. Now, remember, I told you what the definition is. It's the same word. It's gladness, okay, in the absolute sense. That's what it says, and I believe in the Strong's, in the absolute sense. So this is not just a smile. This is not just, ha, ha, ha. You know, that kind of thing, or a joy bouncing around in the eyes. It's not that. I mean, it can include that, of course, but it's much, much bigger than that. Okay? Praise the name of Jesus. Let me take a moment to go back. Hold on just a second. Yeah, let's do this. Back in chapter 1 now, early on, John the Baptist is being foretold here. And then Zechariah, he goes to do his work over at the temple, and he's burning the incense and so forth. And then in verse 11 it says, now I'm in Luke 1, verse 11, you ready? And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar, the side of power, the side of ability, the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But, another contrastive conjunction, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So this is not talking about Jesus, but this is the forerunner to Jesus, namely John. But here's the theme right here. Verse 14. And thou shalt have joy. Thou shalt have joy. And gladness. Boy, talk about a double whammy. Joy means ultimate gladness. And then the sentence also says, and gladness. God can't get any stronger than that. I mean, he could go ahead and list it off 5-6 times if he wants to. That would maybe make it stronger. But he's making it real clear. Making it real clear. Using the word itself. Now see, in the first two themes, he didn't use the word itself. He used other ways of expressing it. Other phrases and so forth. He also used the relationships that were there between the people that were in the Christmas story. That's how he expressed the hope, and that's how he expressed the love. And now it's joy. Okay? Shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall, and here it is again, rejoice at his birth. Praise God. All right? Turn over to Luke 1. Let's see. Go a little bit further along. 39, that's where we'll go. Look at verse 39, okay? This is Luke 1, 39, okay? And Mary, now this is after the angel has already come to her, expressed the love of God through things like you are highly favored and you are blessed and etc. Those are the other words. Instead of you found favor with God, there's another one in verse 30, okay? Instead of using the word love, those were the way God expressed it. Okay? That's what I was referring to. Now jump over to 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. She was going to go visit Elizabeth. Remember now, Elizabeth is family. She is a cousin. And by marriage, of course, then Zechariah is too. And entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Told you before, it's not, you know, like a military salute. Saluting means to greet. Probably gave each other a hug or whatever. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with, watch this, with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Once again, not leaving the love out that we saw a couple of weeks ago. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, now watch, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, here we go, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. This is not just a foretelling of the future. This is a forthtelling of the future. This is getting it out there. This is making it clear. This is about to happen. I mean, these two babies are going to be crucial in what God has planned for the people. Okay? We're talking about John and Jesus. Okay? Praise the Lord. The Bible explicitly states that the babe leaped in her womb. And it says clearly, leaped for joy. This is not just, you know, they're sitting around and they're having their, you know, snack or whatever, and they're talking, they're visiting and so forth, and all of a sudden, oh, you kicked me, you know, right in the front here. And I feel it. I mean, back when we were expecting children, you could actually see it. Boom, 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 boom. And Cindy could tell whether it was a fist, whether it was a foot. It just felt different to her anyway. And so she just let that be known. Praise the Lord. The babe leaped for joy. Okay, praise God. Because there's not only the mother of Jesus, but Jesus himself come into the house. Praise the Lord. Okay, all right. That's the second specific reference. The third is found in Luke 2. Would you turn there? Luke 2, and we'll begin with verse 8. Okay? And I mentioned this earlier, but let's dig into it. It says, I'll just give you 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, and for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So this isn't just joy. This is great joy. This is great joy. This is stronger joy. Bigger joy. Joy, joy. How's that song go? You know, it says it over and over again, doesn't it? That's because it's a big joy. It's a great big joy, okay, which shall be to all people. Now, you know, let's just believe what the Bible has to say, you know. A lot of people would say, yeah, well, you know, he came for the Jews. You know, I know people that say, you know, he came for the Jews and Paul came for the Gentiles. And so we focus more on what Paul has to say. Boy, are you missing it. Boy, are you throwing the truth away. Because even Jesus himself said, I come to the Jews first. And then to the Gentiles. Turns out a lot of the Jews were rejecting it. So Paul, by the Holy Spirit, turns to the Gentiles. Okay? This says, which shall be to all people. Was it Simeon that said that he's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles? See, it's not just Jews. Jews first, but he's also come to everybody. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it's for you, it's for me, it's for everybody outside these walls. Everybody's included in this thing. It's interesting that this word tidings, it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Okay? And it's evangelizo. Evangelizo. Now, you know what word we get from that. You know, to evangelize or to be an evangelist, okay? But evangelizo, and it means good news. That you, that's on the front of it, that EU, that's the same thing we saw before, where it was eulogia. Remember that? And good words, good news, okay? Praise God. And that it would be evangelistic. It's calling people into a new way of life and a new heart. Praise the Lord. All right. Good tidings of great joy. We're talking about a Savior here. We're talking about a people that need salvation. There's got to come a change of heart and life and a turning away from the sin. That's what's being called for. It's not just a Christmas party. It's not just a Christmas gathering. You know, it's not just presents under the tree. It's Jesus. The good news was not just a birth, as this, remember that devotional I read a little bit earlier about the bright news? It was not just about a birth, but about arrival of one who would defeat sin, defeat death, defeat the devil, and all for us. All because he what? He loves us. Amen? And he shows his hope at every turn. He shows his peace and his love and, of course, the joy. And it's even bigger than that. Are you ready? You can hold your place if you want. I'm not really coming back to it, but if you want to turn back to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, praise the Lord. All right, now this is something that's mentioned in Matthew, and it's something that happened after the birth of Jesus. Okay, now watch. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, so I'm sticking with the chronology. This, we talked about Jesus, and we talked about the babies, you know, and the pregnancies and so forth and so on. And now he's already born and this happened. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. See, they saw the star in the east. It never says that they followed the star there. I think they knew exactly where to go. They figured he's the king of the Jews. He's going to be born in the palace in Jerusalem. So that's where they went. And the Bible never says they followed the star. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, gets all the big guns together, okay? And he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And this is Micah chapter 5, verse 2, if you want to look it up sometime. But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, in other words, he probably had to ask it in three or four different ways, what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently, diligently for the young child. And that's what's not happening a lot in our society today. People searching diligently for the truth of God's word. Diligently for this Jesus and letting him be Lord of lords and King of kings. Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Now, you know this is a lie. He's lying about this. He has every intention of having some soldiers go out there and kill this kid. When they had heard the king, now watch, they departed. And lo, the star, see, they hadn't followed the star. They step outside the palace and there's the star. That's what it says. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, okay, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. They rejoiced. With what? Exceeding great joy. Exceeding, or as we would say today, using the adverbial form, that would exceedingly great joy. Okay? So not only is joy a big word, even though it's only three letters, okay? When you're exceedingly joyful, that's a lot bigger. And not only that, exceeding great joy. So it's massive. Their joy was beyond belief or beyond even comprehension, I suppose, by most people. I mean, these guys were probably, I can't say they were laughing it up or anything like that, but they were happy, happy, happy. Okay? They were thrilled. There's a better word. They were thrilled. And when they were come into the house, now I told you before, remember that initially, of course, they had been at a manger, okay? But now this is sometime later. Some commentators believe even possibly a year later, the wise men come and they're in a house. They're evidently renting a house and they're there in Bethlehem. And they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gold is oftentimes called the gift that's really meant for a king. And frankincense, of course, is an incense that is used to worship God, which is the picture that it presents. And myrrh was basically a way to embalm dead bodies. And wait a minute, fellas. You got a brand new baby here, and there's nothing wrong with him. It's not like he's on death's door or anything like that. Why in the world are you giving myrrh? Well, we know why he's giving myrrh. That baby was born to die, and that baby would live again. Amen? Would not see corruption. Bible's real clear about that. The Bible makes clear that the body did not see decay. All right? So he's got gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I personally believe that these are constant reminders to Mary and Joseph of just how special their son was, their boy was. We're going to be talking about that more this evening. So I'll let it go for now. It turns out they were warned in a dream, the wise men were, that they should not return to Herod. Smart move. And they departed unto their own country another way. They separated themselves from the evil and went back with a message of hope, love, and peace and joy to a society that didn't know any of them. To a society and a belief system over in Arabia that didn't know any of that. This is what God does. This is what God intends to do with us. He intends to fill us with the truth of his gospel and go out there and give it to others. We can do that by giving them a Christmas book. We can do that by giving them a newsletter. We can do that by talking to them a little bit and encouraging them to seek the Lord. Praise God. And this is what he's calling us to be all about. Joy to the world. Amen? Amen. Once again, this rejoicing and this joy is used in the absolute sense. It is total gladness. And this is why we are the church. It's why we are the church. Because there's a lot of other people that need to be. A lot of other people that need to know what the true church knows. And not only just know, but but live. Amen? To be the ones that proclaim it, the ones that live it, the ones that are modeling the way, showing the way, I guess maybe is another way to put it. And our response to him for his joy that he gives to the world will be that that becomes the great joy of our lives, like A.W. Tozer says, the great joy of my life. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here today. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you're going to take us even further in a couple of these things, dear God, even this evening. We know, dear God, that you have every intention of taking us into a place where we are filled with your Spirit, dear God, and with your truth that comes from your Spirit, and let other people know about it. Hallelujah. I thank you, dear God. I thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you just once again, just dear Lord, just once again for this Christmas book. I want to thank you, dear God, how it proclaims Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I thank you. I praise you. I love you, Lord. Be the great joy of my life. Be the great joy of each life represented here today. But also, dear God, others around us, could be relatives, could be family, could be friends, could be neighbors, could be workmates, dear God, could be a lot of people. A lot of people need to know about this joy. And they need to see it lived in us. Just like we saw, Lord, with the peace last week, dear God. To come into the peace, to live in the peace, and to depart in peace. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.